This week, Jews all over the world, as you probably know, are celebrating Purim this Friday. And the festival of Purim, of course, refers to events that happened during the Persian exile. The Jews' temple had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Jews had been exiled to Persia, Babylon, modern-day Iraq and Iran, most ancient Jewish communities outside of Israel. And there was the ascendance of a man by the name of Haman. And it's very interesting. We are told that Haman was at the height of his power, height of his wealth, the political power, and not only that, but everyone bowed down to him, except for Mordechai. One of the Jews refused to bow down to Haman, and we are told that Haman was filled with anger, and he said to his wife and his children, look, he says, I've got wealth, I've got power, the king loves me, I'm invited to feasts here and there, no one else is invited, but I tell you what, I can't take it as long as Mordechai, this Jew, doesn't bow down to me. Of course, he hatches a plot to destroy all the Jewish people. Unfortunately, something that we are familiar with. It has happened numerous times in history. People like Haman have tried to utterly destroy the Jews. People today are still trying to destroy us. The Arab countries would love to destroy Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, Fatah, etc. And they want to basically wipe us off the map. Why this hatred? And how does this idea that Mordechai didn't bow down to him, how is that tied in? I do believe, by the way, that this was just an excuse. Haman wanted to destroy the Jews. It wasn't Mordechai not bowing down to him that made him want to destroy the Jews. I think Mordechai not bowing down to him was something which was a symptom of something about the Jews. Haman says to the king, Ahasuerus, he says to him, that's the Hebrew name, we're not totally sure who he was in his Persian name, but Ahasuerus is told by Haman, you know what, these people are different from all other people. We've got to get rid of them. This, of course, raises an obvious question. I mean, according to the beginning of the Megillat Esther, the scroll of Esther, Ahasuerus ruled over 127 countries from India to Ethiopia. I mean, do you think they were all the same? I mean, from India to Ethiopia, there are hundreds of cultures, different ethnic groups, different races, different religions, different languages. Only the Jews are different? Were they all wasps from India to Ethiopia? That's ludicrous. What is Haman talking about? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe explained that what Haman was saying is the Jews are different because they want to be different. They are specifically different. In other words, the Jews do things, as they say in Hebrew, dafka, specifically to be different. And indeed, we do stand out. And I believe that's one of the reasons for or causes of anti-Semitism is the fact that the Jews are a reminder to people. We are almost like the conscience in many ways, that when he sees Mordechai not bowing down, self-doubt enters into the awesome ego and mind of Haman, that maybe I am wrong, maybe people shouldn't bow down to me, maybe I am evil. He doesn't like that. You know, that's a mirror on the wall which says you're not the most beautiful person of all, and that mirror on the wall tells him you're actually a little ugly, my friend. And so he wants to break the mirror. And that's what the Jews have been very often. They've been, in a sense, something that has not left the world, let people who do evil things, let people with evil ideologies, they can't rest in peace as long as there's Jews around. Because the Jewish people's very existence as a nation that represents monotheism, ethical monotheism, represents divine revelation and absolute morality is an unpleasant and painful reminder. I was told of a Jew who was in Shanghai during the Second World War, where some yeshiva students from a city called Mir in Lithuania had escaped to, been able to escape Europe, and they went to Shanghai in China. And one of the students was walking back late at night from his study to his room in his apartment. And he hears someone had a radio on, and it was very loud, and it was a speech given by Hitler. And Hitler was screaming his head off in German. This student was originally from Germany, so he understood it fluently. And he hears Hitler saying, we have to eradicate from this world the nation that does not allow any of us to live in peace. And this guy, this student, he was 17 years old, I think, at the time, he was shocked. What does he mean, doesn't let anyone live in peace? What are we doing to them? How could Hitler say this? What does he mean? You know, he wants to get rid of us because we don't let anyone live in peace. I mean, the same is true, I think, today. I don't think any Israeli soldier, no Israeli citizen, would have a bullet leave their gun if we were not left in peace. I mean, just leave us alone. We withdrew from Gaza, you fire missiles at us. We withdrew from Lebanon, they fire missiles from there, right? We just want to live in peace, but everyone else seems to feel that our existence, they cannot live in peace. Hitler said, I want to destroy these people who do not let us live in peace. I think. So anyway, this student went to ask he ran back to the yeshiva to ask Rav Chazkel Levenstein, one of the great Torah luminaries of the time, who had gone from Lithuania to Shanghai, asked him, what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this? And Rav Chazkel Levenstein said to him, he says, of course, he said, the existence of the Jews reminds him that there is a God. The existence of the Jews reminds him that there is conscience. The existence of the Jews reminds him that there is, the existence of the Jews reminds him that there's an absolute morality in the world, and that this absolute morality does not let him live in peace. And because of that, he has to get rid of them. He has to get rid of them. Amalek, we believe that Haman was a descendant of Amalek. Hitler, certainly an ideological descendant, if not genealogical descendant of Amalek. The nation Amalek were the first of this genre of anti-Semite. They wanted to get rid of us, not because we threatened their land, because we weren't going to their land. They wanted to get rid, not because we threatened their economy. We had nothing to do with their economy. It was the reason they wanted to get rid of us. It was an existential threat to them, because their entire basis of their belief, and in fact, numerical value of the word Amalek is the same as Safek, which means doubt. They came from the opinion that there is no such thing as an absolute moral. Everything's in doubt. There's only one thing clear to them, that Amalek is over everyone, or as the German national anthem used to go, Deutschland über alles, Germany over everything. So it was Amalek over everything. And as long as there were Jews there who were teaching that no, there's morality over everything, there is God over everything, then that's a contradiction to Amalek uber alles, to Amalek over everything. And people are bothered, many people are bothered by that, by the existence of the Jews, therefore they feel the need to eradicate the world of our existence and eradicate us from the planet. That was the threat of Haman, that's why he wanted to destroy us. We celebrate on Purim. We are celebrating a few things, but one of the things we celebrate was the Jewish people re-accepted their destiny and their role in the world. They re-accepted the Torah that was given on Sinai, and they rededicated themselves to being the messengers of ethics and of morality, of absolute morality and of monotheism in this world, come what may. But we celebrate this Friday our victory with God's help over Haman, and the truth is our victory over every Haman that has existed throughout history, that we outlive them and we survive and we thrive, and we will continue to give this message to the world by our actions, by our teachings, and if not by then, by our very existence. We will give this lesson to the world. So I wish everyone a happy Purim, and thanks for listening. Bye.